I've just seen a production of the playback theatre. Been on the theme of death today, but there's lots of different themes you handle, and there's other playback groups as well, not just in this country, but internationally too. Describe a bit more just what happens. I mean, it is literally playing back stories that you hear, isn't it?
Basically, you've got a lineup of actors, normally three or four, sometimes as many as five and six. You have a conductor and the audience. The conductor introduces themselves and the audience and sort of gets into a conversation with the audience, which leads to people describing perhaps how they felt about missing the bus or discovering that the dog that they were looking after had run away. Those little feelings are immediately played back within a set of different forms by the actors. And as the performance works on, the bits that we play back get bigger and bigger. So you have whole stories being played back. And they really could be about anything. And sometimes what appears to be a very trivial story can actually be quite profound. And one of the nice things I think about playback is that it reminds us that our everyday lives are actually thoroughly dramatic. We tend to downplay them a bit. Certainly in England, there's a little bit of dismissiveness about our own lives. And to see your own a little bit of your own life played back, however small, and realize how much emotion, how much excitement, how much drama there is very rewarding, or so our audience tells us.
So it's not just on deep subjects like death that you've done playback theatre productions. I mean, what kind of other subjects have you covered?
Well, when we do a public show, we don't actually normally have a theme, so we could have a variety of stories coming up depending entirely on what comes out of the audience and what people pick up on from other stories. One of the things we have done, some of us have gone into schools in the past and worked around the theme of anti-bullying, using some scenarios that we discovered from our own experiences as children, and then presenting them to the young people as a stimulus for them to share stories. So that's another theme that we've worked with. We've also done performances for community groups who've come together. For example, in December, we went up to Birmingham for an organisation that its job is to support small-scale community projects and enable them to develop whatever they want to do in their particular community. It could be around the environment or it could be around social things. So we both ran a workshop with them to show them a bit of playback and then involve them in a performance in the afternoon with us, with other people from their communities, to celebrate, in fact, what they've been doing and kind of look at their aspirations for the future. So that's another way in which playback can be used. Another aspect of the work is that some of us are quite interested in working with mental health service users. Thelma and I have been running a group in a day centre in West London, and there we're actually teaching playback skills. So it's to give people an opportunity to do something artistic, but also it's a way of affirming, as Hugh said, their kind of everyday life experiences.
What strikes me, looking at how you've been doing things today, I mean, it's just so visual and it's so quick. I mean, improvisation obviously necessitates that, but it's almost, there's some kind of telepathy or intuition going on amongst you.
Yeah, it's the key thing of what we're doing is that it's improvised. And that's, people often ask us, where are you going? So we're going to rehearsal. And they say, how can you rehearse something that's improvised? And then we sort of, a sheepish look comes across our face, and we so say, we don't rehearse what we're going to do, but we rehearse the technique. And improvisation is a real technique, and there are lots of not tricks, but there are things you must do. There's the basic one that we always talk about is saying yes. If somebody suggests that you are a pilot of an aeroplane, you instantly become a pilot of an aeroplane. You don't say, am I a pilot of an aeroplane? You don't say, oh, maybe I'm a pilot of an aeroplane. You instantly become a pilot of an aeroplane. You've been endowed as a pilot of an aeroplane. You are the pilot of an aeroplane. If you do that instantly, the second somebody looks at you or says something to hint that, then it will look like there's some kind of telepathy or that it's happening very seamlessly. If you don't do that, it will look like it's hesitant and so on and so forth. So that's an example of the kind of technique that we actually put into it. The other thing, of course, for us that's really important is listening. It's important in all acting and not done by a lot of actors. But in improvisation, above all, you have to listen in all ways, because if you're not completely there with your fellow actors, you'll miss something. And then the offer, like, you're a pilot, whatever it may be, it's not always that clear, will be missed, and you won't know, and there'll be a glitch, and that will come across to the audience. The listening, of course, is very important for us as well, which something that doesn't happen in other kinds of improvised theatre, which is that somebody's told a story, and we're going to play back that story, and if we haven't really, really tuned in to everything they've said, we won't be able to play it back. But having all listened to it, hopefully very, very closely, we all know that the others have also listened to it. So we have that kind of shared information before we even start. We don't know when it will come up or how it will come up, but when someone starts it, we're instantly clued into to what they're doing.
One of the things that we know from neurological research is that babies can listen almost with the same kind of acuity that adults can within a very early age. So we're subjected in the uterus and beyond to a world of stimuli and sounds. And one of the things that's really important is to find ways of hearing and listening in, tuning in to what is in conversation, the gaps in between, so that we can portray something, be bold about it, but also sensitive about it, so that we're getting the flavour of what's being said. And sometimes wrestling with our own, putting aside our own conflicts about, is this nice or is this going to sound jarring, and actually just going with what feels true to the story.
And John, you've been doing the sound today. This is a key element of the performance, isn't it?
It is. It's a mix of two roles. It's partly an accompaniment role, because the sound person isn't there to dominate or to take over. But equally well, sometimes I have the feeling that whoever is engaged in making sound is like the fifth or the fourth actor, and that what happens is that whoever's making sound is going to be responded to. And the sound you make or the sound you don't make will have an effect. And it's, as has been said earlier, it's about really listening in, tuning in, and being bold, going with the offers that the actors are making, or being prepared to make an offer and risk that. But also, I like the idea, one of the principles in it is of being able to bring, by it being theatre on a shoestring, an opportunity to a lot of people whose stories don't get told in the world. And it's, if you like, unlike perhaps the world of therapy, and I say this as a therapist myself, there is a heck of a lot of people who will never get, or will never need to get, anywhere near a therapist's door. However, people do need to have their stories. Somebody once wrote a book called Everyone's Life is Worth a Novel. And we live in a funny idea of reality TV today, or reality, what an entertainment. I think this is real reality entertainment.
Some of this sounds as though it's really quite serious. And it's not, necessarily. I mean, we have a lot of fun. And to tell the truth, I really don't think when I'm acting. I just do stuff, and you don't really have time to think about it and make all these kind of, careful and thoughtful, balanced decisions. You just get on with it. Two things make that easier. One is that actually we all have a lot more in common than we tend to think. We all live our separate lives, but we're engaged in the human process. All the archetypal stuff that you go through, I go through. And when you tell your story, I find some of it is actually mine, so that's where I'm coming from. And when I'm more true to me, I'm also more true to you. And one of the things I particularly enjoy about doing playback shows is that at the end, the audience always hangs around and talks to each other. They've met each other in a really different way. I used to be a storyteller, and that is also a meeting of the traditional stories. There are a lot of bit about meeting ourselves collectively. But playback is wonderful in its kind of instant oral tradition, and it creates an instant sharing. We get to know each other very very much. And in fact, the weird thing about being in a playback company is you get these deep, thin slices of other people's life, which you know a great deal about. And a lot of my colleagues here, I didn't really know where they lived, what they were up to, what relationships they were in, but I knew a lot about when their mum kicked the dog and they were 11 and they burst into tears and ran away into the coal shed and that kind of thing. So as well as the kind of, we're all being nice and worthy and kindly, but on the other hand, it's a pretty rich, you know, lively celebration of just being alive and having a weird and wonderful time.
You make it sound almost like a cathartic process.
When I, some time ago, when I was working as a storyteller, and I was also working as a psychotherapist, people started, there was a great fashion for using stories in psychotherapy. And it's a little bit artificial, because actually before there was therapy, there were stories. And before there were schools, there were stories. In the old days, before there was literacy widespread, before there was this ridiculous segmentation and parceling out of different chunks of life, there were two ways of learning things. You did it, or you heard a story about it. And apprenticeship and storytelling are really the organic ways to learn how to live and to learn how to do things. So people talk a lot about using playback in therapy. My personal view is the performance is adequate. The story does it all. You don't need therapy if you've got great stories. And in fact, the number of storytellers and the number of therapists is in inverse proportion in any society.
And the motivation for others here, I mean, what really fires you with this kind of theatre?
I think, yes, it's fun. And also, I quite late in life, I came into doing some acting and I did a few bits and pieces on the fringe. And this is a very different process. What Hugh said about not thinking, just doing. I mean, I've been trying to work this out recently. Why is it that I enjoy playback in the way that I never enjoyed straight acting? And apart from the fact that I enjoy the shared experience of working with a group of other people and the contact that you come into with the audience because it is about our shared stories, which I felt, for me, at least in my experience of other theatre, was lacking. It feels a very different process that goes on for me as a performer. First and foremost, I think I use my intuition above all else, and that feels kind of right. And obviously, on top of that, you know, you do need to bring skills to it, but that's where you're listening from, is your gut and your heart, really, yeah. And it's different every time as well, you know, and people have such amazing experiences and lives to share and are, you know, they're set alight by hearing things from other people, or they're touched in some way, and it's just very special, sort of like a multicoloured spaghetti kind of experience.
It's very organic, so you're in something and you don't know where it's going, and yet you do. And we arrive somewhere, and it's quite magical.
So the magic of the Playback Theatre, thanks all of you for talking about it today.